Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour and this classic program from Pastor Harold E. Salem. The mission of the Christian Worship Hour is to share the good news of the gospel with a lost world and to encourage and equip Christians to pray for our families and our nations. Please join with us and the members of our church family as we study the incomparable Word of God. And stay tuned to this classic program to learn more about how you can be a part of God's amazing plan to reach the world. We hope you will be blessed by today's program.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're always happy when the weeks roll by and we can gather together all over the world, some of you in tents and some of you in apartments. And we got letters this last week from a man who runs a truck, and it's just wonderful. Wherever you are, we can worship the Lord together. And today we're going to be thinking about how the Holy Spirit helps us, and gives a pattern for our life and makes us so that we can honor the Lord and we can rejoice in life as we live it out. So we're looking at Psalms 103 today, where the psalmist writes, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high as above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him." And so, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're such a great God. And yet, even though you are so great and so mighty and so powerful and have made all things, and by you all things consist or hang together, hold together, yet you're mindful of each one of us individually. And you know our names, and the hairs of our head are numbered. And so we just thank you that we can have that wonderful assurance that you are with us, leading and guiding. Now in this service, Lord, this is all done to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And Melissa's going to sing for us, "Well Done," and God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
Servant, well done, lover of my word. Keep on living by my will, choosing goodness over evil when you could. Even if you wonder at your story, you know it was written long ago. Well done. well done.
Well, thank you, Melissa, and that song is well done, that's for sure. But we're always thinking about that day when we're going to meet the Lord and have Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And you know, He won't ask us how much money we made or if we were very popular, if we had a lot of ribbons and all of that. You know what He's looking for? If we're faithful. Not successful as the world counts successful, but faithful. And you know what? We can all be faithful. So just stay at it, and we'll all hear that well done. Well, we have to share some of our letters. We read every letter, and we're just so happy that you're writing. And we get people to say, I had a man the other day told me that he didn't know what you liked best, the letters or the sermon. And I told him, well, I can settle that for you in a minute right now, Buster. Well, that sermon, there's nothing like that sermon. So, well, we'll find out. Our first letter comes from Morris, Iowa. And this fellow writes, I gave both of my sons the heart of a shepherd for their birthdays in hopes they would share them with their families. My oldest son, who has three sons, all under the age of 10, said they all sat perfectly still through the whole DVD. We have watched this video many times. It is wonderful for all ages. God bless you and your ministry. And so when we talk about the heart of a shepherd, we're talking about a full-hour film we have. It's an evangelistic film, and here are children that are watching it. And so it's for all ages. And we send that out on a free will offering basis. I'll give you the address in just a few minutes. Here's Murphy, North Carolina. I wanted to say thank you for all you're doing for all of us. I recently found Pastor Salem's program on TV. I really enjoy and look forward to his sermons on Sunday. I enjoy learning something new about Jesus every Sunday. Keep up the great work. Thank you. And you will learn something every Sunday because we preach the Bible, the Holy Word of God. And you know, the Bible is the living word of the living God. And though it is 2,000 years old, and some of it older than that, the Old Testament, it is as alive as it was written yesterday. Someone has said, if I want to read what happened yesterday, I read the newspaper. If I want to know what's going to happen tomorrow, I read the Bible. It's the living word of the living God. Here is a letter from a pastor. And he writes, today at 8 to 8:30 p.m. on the car radio, the Holy Spirit allowed me to hear Dr. Harold Salem for the first time, just in time. And he capitalized that, just in time. He said, I've been grieving over my sin and failure and realizing I can't go back and redeem it and be a minister and a father and a grandfather. It was a Holy Spirit orchestrated blessing to hear Pastor Salem say, he had lost the ability to remember that Jesus is enough, past, present, and future. And then it goes on to say, that message lifted me out of my self-condemnation and brought me back into the eternal forever appreciation for my salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the Christian Worship Hour and all it does for your glory and for the kingdom and for the lost souls that have been and will be born again as they listen. In his precious name, amen. And so here's a pastor. His wife passed away. I've called him to talk to this brother. He's having a lot of hard times, and he slipped, and he got into some sins. And then he thought, well, I've lost my salvation. And then we're preaching on that wonderful truth that God tells us, that Jesus Christ paid for our past sins, our present sins, and our future sins. They're all covered. You see, that's hard to understand. Well, just think of this. None of our sins, my sins, were committed. They were all in the future when Jesus died on the cross. They're all paid for in full, and your salvation is secure. I love to preach. It's the glorious gospel, and the glorious gospel of salvation. Here's a letter from Newport, Tennessee. And here's a dear brother. Here's another pastor. I got two in a row. That's great. I love to hear from the pastors. And this one writes and said, I've been preaching the gospel of Christ, our living, loving Lord, since 1956. And he says, and I plan to continue till he comes for his church or until he calls me home. We may go up together, Pastor Harold, and or we may go separately as he leads. And so here's a dear brother, Pastor Frank Webb, and Frank Bell, and he's in the Webb Baptist Church. And so maybe some of you want to go and visit him. I'll bet he'll hear a good message. Here's Lebanon, Missouri. I have to say thank you again for all your sermons, which come straight from the Bible. May you and your staff have a long time yet, God willing. You have been a godsend to me. I keep forgetting to say how much we enjoy the heart of a shepherd. And we're so glad we can send this out. And if you don't have any money, if you're in prison, you can get the chaplain to show it. You write it, we'll send it free and postpaid. Or if you want to take, we have some libraries that take it and have it in there, and some retirement homes. And if you can pay something, that's fine. If you can't pay anything, then we'll send it anyway. And then you say, well, boy, how can you get along doing that, sending it out free? Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll probably get a letter, and they'll say, well, I heard of somebody that didn't have enough money to pay for the postage, so here's a check to pay for the postage. And we always get enough. For over 40 years, the Lord has provided every need we have. And we're looking forward to continue as long as he sees fit. That's our joy and our happiness. Here's one, Overland Park, Kansas. And he says, thank you for spreading God's word throughout the world. Thank you for letting me be a small part of it. And I thought, isn't that nice? Now he's looking at this and he says, oh my, I'm so happy that I can be a part of this and I can be preaching the word. And I can't preach, but I can send gifts, and I can pray, and I can have an investment in it. And that's just a wonderful way to live, a wonderful way to travel. One more that I want to share, and it's from Rogers, Minnesota. And he says, I want you to know that on August 19th, I celebrated my 49th anniversary of my motorcycle accident that left me with a quadriplegic paralyzed from the shoulders down. The promises of God have helped me grasp that accident. It was not an accident. He said, he grasped that accident, but it was not an accident, but it was God's will for me in Christ Jesus. The grace of God in Hebrews and the wonderful present sufferings are light and momentary, not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to me in heaven. And here's a dear brother, and he's been on a motorcycle accident, and it's been 49 years. And instead of him being grumpy and mad at God, and why did this happen to me, he's thankful for it. And he's thankful because it led to the salvation of his soul. And he'll live with maybe, I don't know, 70, maybe more, maybe less. But he's going to live forever spiritually, because he had a motorcycle accident and it turned him to the Lord. And we need to remember, dear friends, that God is in everything that happens and that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. And to those who don't love the Lord, many times he deals with them and brings them to him through these accidents. So we're just so happy to have all of these letters. And we hope that you'll write. And if you want to write to us, if you want to send a gift, or if you want to send a letter, if you want to maybe get the film, you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And so God bless you. We'll be looking for your letter. Now Jan's going to play a piano solo for us. So God bless you, Jan. Thank you. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. That's just beautiful. Well, we are reading from the Gospel of John today, chapter 16. And if you have your Bibles, we can turn to the 16th verse. And I know that some of you get all dressed up for church and worshiping in your home. And you have your Bible. And sometimes I'll get letters from people and they'll say, "We held hands together. My husband and I held hands together. Now he's gone, and I'm still worshiping with you on that service." So she has a lot of memories, good memories. And everything we do and everything we say is centered on the Word of God, the holy, wonderful, beautiful Word of God. And now Jesus is talking here in the 16th chapter of John, and he's going to go to the cross. It's just prior to the cross. And he tells them they're going to forsake him, and they're going to let him down. And they're going to have great sorrow, but he's going to come back afterwards, and they can rejoice. And he tells about a woman in travail, and the great sorrow, and then the joy when that child is there. And that's beginning with verse 16 on chapter 16. "A little while, and you shall not," and he's talking to his disciples here, his followers. "And a little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to my Father." Then said some of the disciples among themselves, "What is this that he saith unto us, 'A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again, a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to my Father'?" They said therefore, "What is this that he saith? A little while, we cannot tell what he saith." Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, "Do you inquire among yourselves of what I said? A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me. Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman that when she is in travail hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she delivereth a child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that is a man-child is born into the world. And ye now know, therefore, you have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." So we're going to pray, and today we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Saudi Arabia. Always remember the persecuted church. Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful story. And you tell the disciples that you're going to go to the cross. You've told them that. You told them you're going to be raised again. But they never really caught on to it, especially the resurrection. And so now you're telling them again, and you're telling them in so many words that I'll be watching with you and I'll be loving you. And I'll be there after that death and crucifixion. I'll be there. I'll live again and be with you forever. And dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that that's the message we can preach. There's always hope in Jesus. You are so wonderful, dear Lord. And you help us and you never let us down. And there are so many that don't know you personally. And so we're just praying that as we have our service today, many will open their heart to you. Ask you to come in and take away their sins and be born again and have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This is your service. And Lord, we do pray for the persecuted church today. And we know that many of them lost their homes, lost their churches, and some have lost their husbands. Some have lost their little children, have lost their parents, both parents. And oh, dear Lord, we just wish you would come in and come and put an end to this thing. You could stop it in a moment, and yet, Lord, I know you're waiting for somebody else to come. You're giving them that chance, and there may be some today right now, Lord, and you're talking to them, and you're telling them that you want to come into their heart, and you're just waiting to give them time to come. We pray multitudes will come, and it'll come to the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. So bless us in this service, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And now before the sermon, Barb's going to sing for us "The Family of God," and God bless you, Barb.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're family and these folks are so near. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears and rejoice in each victory in this family so dear. I'm so glad I'm a part been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Joy fills with Jesus as we travel this side. For I'm part of the family of God. To the house of a king, no longer an outcast, a new song I sing. From rags unto riches, from the weak to the strong, I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God I belong. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Joy hears with Jesus as we travel this side. For I'm part of the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Oh, joy there's with Jesus as we travel this side. For I'm part of the family of God. I'm part of the family.
Well, thank you, Barb. God bless you. And I guess we have to ask that question. Are you a part of the family of God? And somebody will say, and I've heard him say it so many times, well, God, we're all God's children. He created us. We're all God's children. And so, yes, I'm a part of the family of God. And, you know, that's sad because you're never a part of the family of God. Once you come to the age of accountability, when you can make a choice, you're not a family, part of the family of God until you ask Jesus to come into your heart and into your life. And I hear it so many times. People say, well, he created us all. Well, he created the cattle, too, and the horses and all of creation. That doesn't mean you're saved. And you remember what Jesus said? He said, as many as received him, Jesus said this, as many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he power to become the children of God. You're not a child of God till you receive Jesus. How could you make it any plainer? John 1:12. And so today we're looking at this wonder Jesus, this wonderful Jesus. And he has been walking with the disciples now 3 years. And now he's come to that. He talks about, mine hour has not come, mine hour has not come. But now his hour has come. And in just a matter of hours, he's going to be nailed to a cross. And he's preparing his disciples. You know, he doesn't show us everything at once. We can't bear them. Jesus said, I have many things to say unto you, but you're not strong enough to bear them yet. And I'll share them with you as you travel along. And as you get stronger, I'll share these things. And so now he's there. And pretty soon he's going to have the cross. And pretty soon Peter is there. All the disciples are going to leave him. And Peter's going to swear he didn't know him. And they're going to go in dejection. They're going to think everything is gone. And they go back to Galilee to fishing. But the third day, Jesus Christ is risen. And then after he's risen, then this all takes place. This takes place. And he's telling us, if you're part of the family of God, you have that wonderful hope. You may have trials and tribulations. Jesus says in this world, in John 16:33, he says, in the world you'll have tribulation, but he says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. We're on the winning side. We're on the winning team. And so now Jesus meets with his disciples, and he tells them in this passage that the Holy Spirit is going to come, because Jesus is going to be, he's going to die on a cross, and they're going to be without him for a little while. And then after a little while, he's going to ascend into heaven. And so the Holy Spirit is going to bring them peace. And we're going to look at that, because when the Holy Spirit brings us peace, it gives us strength, and it gives us staying power. We stay with it. It gives us joy, and it gives us peace. And Jesus tells his disciples in the 33rd verse, he says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. And Jesus will give his followers peace. It is his peace. It's the peace of God. And it can be hours and hours if we don't want to take the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him and follow him. And here's the amazing thing. Peter looked at his disciples. He knew what they were about to do. It's just going to be in within an hour or so. They're going to be running and deserting him. They're going to swear. Peter's going to swear to high heaven he didn't know Jesus. And they're going to be gone. And so the scriptures tell us in Mark 14:50. He says, and they all forsook him and fled. Knowing all of this, Jesus still loved them. And he gave them peace. He knew they were going to turn on him. He knew they were going to leave him. He knew Peter was going to swear. But he gives them this peace, and he loves them. Warren Wiersbe talks about it. He says, Jesus tells his disciples, I have said this to you, that in me you may have peace. The point is this. If Jesus had foretold the weakness of the disciples, afterwards when they realized how they had failed him, might have been that they might have well driven them to utter absolute despair. It is as if he said, I know what's going to happen. You must not think that your disloyalty came as a shock to me. I knew it was coming, and it does not make any difference to me and to my love. I know what you're going to do, but I love you just the same. When you think about it afterwards, don't despair, but rejoice in this wonderful Savior. You see, that was illustrated in the denial and the restoration of Peter. Look at his life. Jesus told Peter that he would deny him. And Peter refused to believe it. He said, absolutely not. He said he would die before he ever denied Jesus. And I don't believe that there's a more honest man on the face of the earth, that in his heart and his soul he did believe that he would die for Jesus. But he didn't know himself. And you don't know yourself, and I don't know myself. And that's why we have to stay close to Jesus. We don't know what could become of us. Not that we'd lose our salvation, but we could lose our wonderful fellowship with the Lord and then the wonderful ability to serve him and follow him. But Jesus' words came true. Peter swore he didn't know Jesus. And not once did he deny the Lord, but three times. And then that terrible night when Peter heard the cock crow, it was like an alarm clock went off, and it shook him to the roots, and it brought him back to his senses. And with Peter, what does it tell him? What did Peter do? He went out a grown, strong man. He went out and he wept bitterly. Peter must have thought, now Jesus is done with me. I blew it. Jesus is through with me. I couldn't have done a worse thing in the world. Jesus wouldn't have nothing to do with me from now on. Peter was sick to heart, and I'll bet you that he wanted to die when he saw what the terrible thing that he had done. But in a few short days after the resurrection of Jesus, the message is given to the women, go tell the disciples and Peter. Tell all the disciples and Peter. Jesus has him on his heart, and he wants Peter to come. Peter had forsaken Jesus, but Jesus hadn't forsaken him. Of course not. You would expect that, wouldn't you? You knew that Jesus wouldn't forsake you. And I know that Jesus wouldn't forsake me, although he had plenty of reason to do it, but he never has forsaken me. And if you take Jesus as your Savior and you just trust him, he will never forsake you. And when you fall, you get back up like Peter and you repent and come back to Jesus, and he'll take you back every time. And then something happened, and Clarence McCartney tells it in this story. He says, perhaps it is the most beautiful scene in the New Testament. And this is the picture. It's early morning. Jesus is standing on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. The mists are beginning to lift from the surface of the sea, and the light is starting to break over the eastern mountains. And soon, Jesus and the disciples are all seated together on the shore there. And they have around them is a fire on which is bread and fish. And there they're eating. It probably was a silent meal, because the Apostle John says, none of them durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. They must have thought, what is Jesus going to say? And what is Jesus going to say to Peter? He's going to say, well, Peter, you really let me down, didn't you? Peter, I counted on you, but you ran off just like the rest, except they didn't curse. Peter, what makes you any different than Judas? Peter, you really disappointed me, and I hope for you more than that out of you. But what, do you know what? Jesus did not so much as even mention anything of the past. Not one word of the past. You know why he didn't? Because he and Peter already had dealt with the matter. We're told in them in Luke 24, verse 34, that Jesus and Peter had met together and talked things over, and he had repented and confessed his sins. Paul talks about it, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 5. No question about it. Peter had confessed his sins to the Lord Jesus before that breakfast on the shore. Somewhere, we're not told where, the two got together, and he repented of his sins to this dear Jesus. Warren Wiersbe comments on it, and he puts it like this. Peter and his Lord had already privately and no doubt taken care of Peter's sins. But since Peter had denied the Lord publicly, it was an important thing that he be public restoration. Sin should be dealt with only to the extent that it is known. Private sin should be confessed in private. Public sin should be confessed in public. Since Peter denied his Lord three times, Jesus asked him three personal questions. He also encouraged him by giving him a threefold commission and restored Peter to the full ministry. See, that is the way it was with Peter, with Jesus and Peter. But listen, the key to the whole issue is, Peter, do you love me? That's what it is. He's not talking about yesterday. He's not talking about the cursing. He's not talking about anything. He's talking about, Peter, do you love me? Peter, you sinned. He didn't say that, Peter, you're a sinner, but he says, Peter, do you love me? And that's the question Jesus is asking all of us today. Do you love me? He's asking me that. He's asking you that. Not, he said, did you sin? He knows we sinned. We know we sinned. But instead of that, do you love me? That's the question Jesus puts to Peter. He says, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? More than these? Who did he mean? Do you love me more than these? Did he mean that these men around him? not hardly. They all love Jesus more than any man. They love Jesus first of all. Did Jesus mean you're going to leave these? Did he mean the boat and the net and some of the equipment? Not at all. I think Jesus meant, Peter, you said you loved me more than these disciples. Is that true? And then Peter said, all men shall be offended because of thee. I'll never be offended. But he had offended Jesus and he had denied him. But now Jesus is asking him, Peter, do you love me more than these? And Peter says, I love you, Lord. Three times Peter says, I love you, Lord. That's the matter. It's not that Peter sinned. It's not that some of these things happened. But it's Peter, do you love me? Do we love Jesus? Do I love Jesus? Well, we ought to be sure that we answer that question. We ought to face that question. Where does Jesus rank in my life? Is he in the top of the list? Do I really love him? Do you see it? There's not a single reference here when he talks to Peter. Not a single reference to the past. But it is for the now. It is for day. Do you love me today? Do you love me now, Peter? That's what I'm talking about. It's not did you love me yesterday or what did you do yesterday, but do you love me now? Clarence McCartney writes this. And he said, when Peter had been given an opportunity to confess his love three times, as he had thrice denied Jesus, then Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. The past was blotted out. Its dark sin was forgiven and forgotten. Peter is restored into his place as an apostle, and he's given another chance. And Peter took it. He followed Jesus the rest of his life, and as tradition has it, he gave his life. He was put to death. He suffered a martyr's death because he loved Jesus. Forgiven, forgotten. Friend, we must all learn to get forgiveness through confession of our sins to the Lord. We need to go to Jesus for that question, our sins. But then when we confess those sins, don't dwell on them. Peter, that's all in the past. That's all forgotten. Peter, just forget them, Peter. This is what happened to Peter. See, he sinned against the Lord Jesus, the one he loved the most on earth. That is the one that he denied and he deserted and he swore he didn't know, the one he loved the most. To sin against the Lord brought Peter a broken heart and the sharpest pain and the deepest remorse. He hated himself for what he did. He despised himself for the terrible sin and he thought of it constantly, like the psalmist said, my sin is ever before me. And so this dear Lord Jesus comes and forgives him of those sins. McCartney writes again and he says, it is one thing to heal a man of despising others or hating others or wronging others, but to heal a man of self-despising, that is the most difficult and delicate cure of all. Thus it was that day, early morning, the mist beginning to rise, Peter faces Jesus. His heart must have been broken. He must have felt pain and like a stabbing him in his heart. But then when Jesus talks to him, Peter tells Jesus that all is forgiven. Jesus tells him, all is forgiven, Peter. It's all in the past. It's all taken away. This was a new day for Peter. It was a new start for Peter. It was a new chapter. It was a new beginning. And he says then, feed my sheep. You know, if he had said that to Matthew or to Mark or to Luke or to Philip, he wouldn't have thought of it so much. But of all people, Peter, who swore he didn't know him, oh, it's the most wonderful thing. It's the most glorious thing. It's the most encouraging thing that when Jesus said to Peter, and he said, Peter, feed my sheep. In other words, he says, Peter, go to work for me. Peter, all is well. You're on board again. Peter, you're getting another chance. Peter, go to work. Peter, feed my sheep. That was one reason I love to preach the gospel so much, because I can tell them when you come to Jesus, he'll forgive you all your sins and you'll never have to face them. And the message that I can give, you can be forgiven, not just for that day, but forever. And what is we're told in Hebrews, God tells us their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. That's the good news of the gospel. The good news is we can always begin again. Someone has said, Christianity is a highway that leads to the land of beginning again. Have you ever noticed how many times the word is new is used in the Bible and in Christian theology? We read about the New Testament, we're the new covenant, the new creature, the new man, the new birth, the new commandment, the new name, the new song, the new heaven, the new earth. Where are you today, dear friend? Are you mourning over some past sins that keep dogging you and bring you into despair? Or have you confessed it to Jesus and had him say, go feed my sheep, go to work for me, get to Jesus? And if you have been mourning and harboring past sins, you tell Jesus about it. And then exercise that faith to believe that these confessed sins are forever gone. And then just do like Peter said with his awful sins. He just gave them to Jesus. By all means, get to Jesus. We sing that song. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our troubles. Jesus knows all about our struggles. Get to Jesus. If you're hurting today, get to Jesus. If you're struggling today, if you're lonely today, if you're depressed today, if you're brokenhearted today, if you're at wit's end, if you lost your soul, if you still are lost in your sins, you don't know which way to turn, get back to Jesus. That's the glorious gospel. And if you're not a Christian, if you've never met Jesus, you've never taken him into your life, and you're still in your sins, come to Jesus and confess your sins to him. Ask him to come into your heart. Promise to turn from your sins the best you can, and the glorious Son of God will come into your heart and soul, and you will have that Son of God in your life forever and ever. And when everything passes away and earth and time is no more, you will have Jesus. You'll always have Jesus. Robert Louis Stevenson puts it so beautifully, and he writes this: the stars shine over the mountains. The stars shine over the sea. The stars look up to the mighty God, and the stars look down on me. The stars shall last for a million years and a day, but God and I will live in love when the stars have passed away. This wonderful Jesus, this wonderful Savior, you need to come to him. Listen to me, my friends. You have to open your heart to Jesus. And he's not willing that anyone should perish. He wants you to come to him and take him as your Savior. And you say, yes, I want to. I want to. I just feel like I should have Jesus. I feel like he's at my heart's door. I want Jesus, but I don't know how to get him, and I don't know what to say. And Jesus says that he tells us, if you just call upon my name, he says, if you just call upon my name. He says in John 5:24, he says, whosoever, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever heareth my word, now you've heard the word, and believeth on him that sent me, and you can believe. God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. Don't come to me and say you can't believe. You can believe if you want to. I've had that before. I say, well, I want to believe, but I can't. Oh, yes, you can. He's dealt to every man a measure of faith. And so you call on his name. You say, dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll forsake those sins the best I can. Jesus taught repentance. You don't come from the pig pen and then go back and live like a pig. You come from the pig pen and you're cleansed and you're a new creation in Christ. And you'll walk with him, and that's what Peter's doing. And friends, listen to me now. When this world is long gone and time is no more, and when the stars cease to shine and the sun goes dark, and all we're in all of eternity, remember this: wonderful, wonderful Jesus. We will still have that one friend who promised us, and that when you take Jesus into your heart, he will never leave you. He'll always be there. And you take him into your heart by simply saying, "Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins, and I ask you to come into my heart and take them away. And I'll live for you. I'll forsake my sins the best I can." Now, you won't be perfect, and you'll never be perfect till you get home. But you'll get strength to live a different life. You'll have different goals and different aims and different attitudes. You'll change. And just ask him to come into your heart and tell him you'll follow him the best you can. That's what Peter did. He confessed his sins to Jesus, and Jesus took him back. And he'll take you back. And maybe you've drifted from the Lord. You're a backslider. You can come back. And when you take that Jesus, he'll remember you. He'll never forget you. And so when we come to those things that are hard in life and difficult in life, we will have that one friend who promised us, "I will never leave thee or forsake thee." That wonderful friend who loved me so much that he died for me. That friend who saved my soul from hell. That friend who bore our sin, our name, and put our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. That one friend who is our guide in life. That one friend who walks us through the valley of the shadow of death. That wonderful, wonderful friend that will take us to that place he prepared for us. That friend will be with us. Oh, God, you need to come to Jesus. And so I ask you, is he your friend? Is he your friend? If he is, take heart and carry on. If you've accepted Jesus, take heart and carry on. Lean heavily on Jesus. He has big shoulders and he's strong. And lean on Jesus. Trust him for everything. Thank him for who he is. Praise him for being your friend. But oh, if you do not have Jesus, now I ask you, if you don't have Jesus, why don't you have Jesus? Why not? Why not confess your sins to Jesus right now? Why not ask him right now while I'm talking? Ask him to come into your heart. Surrender to Jesus right now. And if you do that, Jesus will be your friend. And he'll be your friend in this life and in the life to come. And I pray to God that you'll come to Jesus. Just pray with me, "Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart and take my sins away, and I'll follow you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus." And if you did that, you know what happened? You're born again. The moment you called on Jesus, you're born again. And you have your names written. God has written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you're a child of God. And he'll always be there, and he'll always be with you, and he'll always help you. But I want to tell you this. When you walk with Jesus, you walk the best you can, but you'll never be perfect till you get to heaven. And so when you stumble and when you fall, God has given the whole first epistle of 1 John to Christians that fail. And he says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And somebody says, "But I've tried. We get letters. I know they're saying this." I got a letter just this a few days ago. And it says, "I ask God for forgiveness. And then I sin again. And I ask him for forgiveness. Will he forgive me?" A man is saying, "How many times will Jesus forgive me, for goodness sake?" Well, why don't you try a million times? Every time you go to Jesus, he knows that the flesh is willing, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he knows we're going to fail. The best of us are going to fail. And I shouldn't say us, because I'm not among the best. But I know this, I'm a saved person. And I know when I fail, I know I can go to Jesus. And if it's a million times, I'll get a million forgivens. What does God say? Where sin abounded, what happened? Grace did much more abound. Grace, the grace of God. Do you know that Christianity is the only religion in the world that has grace, that uses the word grace? And what does grace mean? It's we got something we didn't deserve. I didn't deserve forgiveness, and he gave me forgiveness. And he will all the way to heaven. because he's paid all my sins till I get to the pearly gates, and then I'll be perfect in the righteousness of Christ. So now you just pray. And I know what some of you are saying. You're saying, I sinned against light. I knew it was wrong. I shouldn't have done it, but I did it. God will forgive you. And one other thing I want to caution you about. The devil doesn't want you to come because you're in the devil's territory. And when you accept Jesus, you leave the kingdom of darkness and you enter the kingdom of light. And you're set free, free to be in Jesus, see? And so the devil will never tell you not to accept Jesus. He will never say that. You know what he'll say? Wait. Don't do it now. Don't pray now. Wait till your anniversary. Or you and your husband, you can do it together on your anniversary. Or wait till Christmas. Or wait. He'll never say don't do it. He'll say wait. And if you wait, you'll be lost. Because God tells us that we're often reproved of the Lord, and we refuse it, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Come to Jesus now, wherever you are. And if you came to Jesus, if you made that prayer, you write to us, and we'll send you literature. Anywhere in the world, we'll send you literature. You write to the Christian Worship Hour, and the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota. Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And I always give it several times because we have shortwave people. Do you know that we cover 90% of the world's population by shortwave? And they don't have a screen to watch. And so you just give, I'll give it a couple times. And then we need to have your help because we have to pay our way just like anybody else. And we've been going on, our income is from God's people. No denomination or organization or anything else underwrites us. It's just God's people. So you pray, dear Jesus, should I help these people? And if he says yes, then you send a gift and just ask him how much and send it. And remember this, we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And that means that our books are audited and we're on tip-top condition. We're as clean as a hound's tooth. And the young generation won't want to know what that means. You go and ask grandma or grandpa, they'll tell you. But pray for us and write to us one more time. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And now something I have to say, and that is God loves you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, no matter what your sins are, he will forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Come to Jesus. He loves you. The Christian Worship Hour loves you. That's why we've been doing this for over 40 years, because we want you to come to Jesus. And I love you. I gave my whole life to tell you the message, and you just need to come. And I've told it so many times, if you don't love Jesus, it's because you don't know him. You'll just come to Jesus. Make that prayer right now. Dear Jesus, come into my heart. Now I want to pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you for your people. Thank you for all who've joined us. We thank you for the multitudes that have made that prayer. And the Holy Spirit now dwells within them. We pray, Lord, for those on beds of sickness. We pray for those who are going through hard times. We pray for the young people, Lord, who have so many temptations and so many problems. And the children, the precious children, oh, they can open their heart to Jesus. I did my heart when I was 10 years old. So may God have his way in every heart and life. And we'll always be careful to give you the praise and the honor and the glory. So now until next week we're going to have a sermon, The Anchor of the Soul. And you're going to love it because it talks about the assurance we have in Christ. You accept Jesus and you can't be lost. How can you beat that? So you pray for us and we'll pray for you. And then we'll live out our life and see the Lord face to face. God bless you, everyone.
You've been watching the Christian Worship Hour, the weekly broadcast that brings good news to the lost and encouragement to the believer. We hope that today's program has been a blessing in your life. Support our ministry by contacting us at the Christian Worship Hour, P.O. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, or visit us online at ChristianWorshipHour.com. Be sure to join next week for another life-changing message from Pastor Salem.